FNB house price index ticked up by 3.6% in July year on year. That compares with a 3.5% rise in June on a similar basis. This means that average house prices continue to rise below inflation. So in real terms, property inflation is actually on the decline. To take us through the report and what's generally happening in the property sector, I'm joined on the line by Sipamandla Mkwananzi. He's a property analyst at FNB. Thanks very much, Sipamandla, for joining us on the show. So year to date, what's the property price picture looking like?
Look, there has been a slight pickup in property prices, and that may be as a result of the lower interest rate and the despondency post the election. So we might be seeing the tailwind effect of all of that. So for last month, we registered about 3.6% up from 3.5%. It's still below inflation, but at least better than what it was 2 months ago.
And year to date?
Year to date, we are looking at around 3.5% or so. So it is still slightly below what we were last year, for the full year last year. So so for this year, we still need a bit of a catch up. So our forecast for the year is somewhere around 3.5, 3.6, which is somewhere flat from last year.
Yeah.
And that is as a result of, although lower borrowing costs will provide some support to activity, there's still a bit of excess supply in the market. It takes a bit of time for the market to clear that before it translates into higher prices. So we're not forecasting much better price house price growth versus last year, which is not surprising given the weak economic conditions we find ourselves in.
Sipamandla, when you disaggregate the data that you come across, are there any property segments where you're seeing standout growth, and also geographically as well?
Interestingly, if you segment it by price, obviously in South Africa, there isn't a one definition of what low and what middle is. But if you work with the data as it is, if you let the data tell you where the low price and high price is, and you segment it by 20% segments, so you will find that the higher you go, the higher in price ladder you go, the more pressure you find in property markets. In the lower end, we are still very comfortable registering about 17-18% growth there in properties that are in the lowest 20% of the price range.
Yes.
With an average purchase price of about 400,000 rand or so. Now, the higher you go, you will find that property price growth then tends to slow. And in the highest end, in the top 20% of the price spectrum, so those are properties with a value of an average about 2.3 million. There was a slight decline in nominal terms of about 0.2% in the second quarter, which is not surprising when you look at the affluent suburbs in South Africa right now. You look at Sandton, we find a nominal house price decline there. If you look at the Atlantic seaboard in the Western Cape, which is another affluent segment of the property market, there's also a price decline there. So it's not surprising that overall, the overall South African picture, if you look at the highest end, you find price decline there. But surprisingly, interestingly though, buyers have begun taking advantage of this price discount. We saw, for example, that the length of time the property is on market in the highest end, in the high net worth end, reduced to about 19 weeks and 5 days, which is significantly down from what it was in the first quarter. It was about 21 weeks or so. So it does show that those at least that have access to the credit markets or are sitting on cash are taking advantage of the price discounts, particularly in the high end. In the low end, I have to mention though that it's not necessarily to say that the low income consumer is not affected by the hard economic conditions. It only means that even those who are in the higher end are buying in the lower end, which is supporting demand in the lower end. And we know that there isn't sufficient supply in the low end, which is what is keeping the prices above water at the moment.
At the financing level, do banks appear to have a little more appetite to offer mortgage loans in a lower priced market? But then again, of course, there are a lot of vulnerabilities in the economy, especially with job security not being a sure thing.
That's the issue right now, the job security. In fact, we do think that it's likely to continue exerting downward pressure on the market at the moment. That's the biggest issue.
Mm.
Overall picture on looking at mortgages, there has been a slight uptick in the extension of the value of mortgages. But we find that it's more skewed towards the higher end, because that's where there's more job security.
Yes.
So there are still vulnerabilities in the lower end, unfortunately. But overall, we have seen a slight uptick in mortgages. It's still significantly lags other components of credit, like unsecured credit, for example, which is growing at double digits at the moment, versus mortgages, which are growing at around 4.1% at the moment. So although there's that security of an asset behind a mortgage, we still find that there's still a bit of reluctance when you compare it to the advance to the extension of other credit components, such as credit cards, such as vehicle finance.
We continue to hear about higher than usual levels of emigration. Is that something the index would be able to pick up? And what are you hearing about how this is translating into the property market?
So yeah, we do see that trend. There definitely is a significant significant uptick in the number of houses that are sold in South Africa for the reason of emigration. At the moment, it's sitting at around 13% or so of the entire market. If you go by the estimations of estate agents, or people who are interacting with buyers and sellers on the ground. And it's more concentrated in the higher end as opposed to the lower end, so your high net worth individuals, those that wouldn't find it difficult to find employment elsewhere. We link that to the underperformance of the South African economy, that it's not offering much growth in terms of employment opportunities at the moment, and people are finding employment elsewhere around the world. And it also speaks to the ease of movement around the globe at the moment. There are countries that have gone out to attract highly skilled individuals, and it's starting to show in the data. And like I said, it's mostly concentrated in the higher end of the market. It wouldn't be an issue if there was an equivalent income in demand. So those would be foreigners who are buying in South Africa, or South African expats who are coming back to the country. But at the moment, there is that negative there's that negative gap. So there are more people selling houses and leaving the country than there are those who are coming into the country and buying property. And that is adding to the excess supply that we see at the moment in the market, because it means that that excess supply, that gap, will then have to be absorbed by local buyers. And because the labor market is under so much pressure at the moment, we are not seeing enough of the local demand. It's all tied to the labor market.
What's happening in the rental sector, and what sort of increases are landlords realistically able to get?
Now, in the rental market, the latest data did pick up a slight increase in average rental for the country. But if you look at if you dissect it by provinces, for example, you will still find that the big provinces like Gauteng, it's still sitting at around 2.8% of average increase for the second quarter. If you look at the Western Cape, there was a slight increase from about 7.5 to 7.6. So it looks at the moment that and the national average was around 4%. So if you look at it geographically, you will find that the rental market is doing slightly better in the Western Cape, and it's under pressure elsewhere. At the moment, the feedback we get on the ground is that landlords still find it difficult to pass on large increases, and that's linked to the underperformance of the economy. Hmm. At the moment, landlords would rather hold on to their current tenants and pass on less than what they desire in terms of rental escalation, then let go of a tenant and then having to go about 2-3 months looking for another tenant. What we have seen is that households have started consolidating. So instead of one bedroom, people who are sitting, for example, instead of 3 1 bedrooms, we started seeing some consolidation, people renting a 3-bedroom house to try and save cost, and it's all linked to the rising cost of living in South Africa at the moment. So you will find that rental flat vacancy rates are much higher in the 1-2 bedroom houses than they are in the 3-bedroom houses because of that kind of consolidation. But what we are seeing also is that because of this, there was an influx of supply of new flats and townhouses, particularly in the Gauteng region, and that is exerting pressure on rental in that vacancy rates are high. So tenants have alternatives, and they can shop around. Whereas landlords would rather hold on to their current to their existing tenants instead of looking for new tenants because demand is quite low at the moment.
That was Sipho Mandla Mkhwananzi. He's a property analyst at FNB.